Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice, man. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. And we got to take it to the phone line because we also want to get a feel for what's happening at the Houston Methodist Training Center with none other than the man whose name goes first on a marquee on the morning
That's
show.
That's right.
Don't you forget it.
It is a former Houston Texan himself, Seth Payne. What's happening, man?
It's not nothing. Yeah, we're hung up in contract negotiations over that. Sean's trying to get first, and I'm saying no. Nothing. It was look. It wasn't the all out black like bloody bruising, just old school smash mouth football scene that I wanted out here, which is probably for the better. It was pretty controlled practice, and I think as it's been for much training camp, the Texans did some good things on offense, and then they did some questionable things on offense. But all in all, in a combined practice where it's hard to keep track of both units operating at the same time, a lot of the things that you're concerned about, you can remain concerned about. A lot of things you're excited about, I think you can be excited about. The offensive line I didn't come away from this thinking, oh boy, they're doomed and they'll never do anything. But you can see that it is still a work in progress. I think the Texans' offensive line spraying as many runs in the run game. There were some glitches in pass protection, sacks or at least simulated sacks that I would have preferred a cleaner look. But they did have some good drives. The final 2-minute drive, the Texans drove down against the Panthers defense, and CJ had some nice connections with Xavier Hutchinson, and I believe that was that Berrios or Kirk for the touchdown? That was Kirk for the touchdown on that one, if I remember correctly. So the biggest and most encouraging thing I saw today was probably that, just like in the scrimmage in West Virginia, the scheme sprung some guys wide open at times, whereas at the early part of camp, it didn't seem like many guys were ever wide open. The scheme got some guys open. It's the preseason. Take it with a grain of salt, all of that stuff. But you could see them start to maybe execute a little bit of whatever Nick Caley's vision is for this offense.
It's deeply interesting. We're talking to Seth Payne, who was out there at the joint practice today between the Texans and the Panthers. I kind of wanted to you started in very, very well here. I want to step back a second, though. C.J. Stroud.
I gave you every note, so that's pretty much anything I have left.
Very good, very good. No, I think there's some more. Because C.J. Stroud, we mentioned this, that, at times it seems like you can see the wheels turning in his head. And obviously there's, instances where they're doing install and he's really working on things. In a joint practice setting where it's like getting out here and just kind of playing, how did he look? Did it seem like they were still in that same place, or did he look more fluid?
No, I thought, and we've seen this, the quick game has been, I think, better than it was last year. I think a lot of the stuff when it's coming out rapid fire, he looks really, really comfortable with it. It's harder to evaluate when the pass protection breaks down, whether CJ's kind of hanging on longer than he actually would be able to in an actual real-world simulation. But he hit some of the deeper stuff on things that took longer to develop, where I think he's just genuinely, waiting for the right time to throw the ball. So, yeah, if I had come out and hadn't watched or seen or read anything about Texans training camp, I don't think I would have thought, oh, there's a quarterback who's struggling there. I think it looked like a good back and forth with the Texans offense having a couple good series, the Panthers defense having a series and at least one interception. But it looked for where he is right now in learning this system and trying to get comfortable in it. It didn't look like anything that I would be worried about. I'm getting to the point where I'm greedy, and this is a Panthers defense that, remember, was one of the worst all-time scoring defenses in the history of the NFL last year. And they added some players. They went out and got half their new starters in free agency. They drafted on defense. So maybe it's not going to be as bad a defense. I was just kind of hoping I was being greedy, and I wanted a little bit of a bloodletting, and I wouldn't call this a bloodletting.
I'm curious about how they're adapting with life after Brevin Jordan, not just as receiving, in fact, maybe even more so blocking, fullbacks, tight ends blocking. What are you seeing there, or what did you see?
Cade Stover had one really nice block today on a wham that was really impressive. I think I'm going to say something that's going to sound like the most homerish thing you've ever heard, or a glass half full. And I said it to Paul Gallant out there today, and he laughed because, he assumed I was joking, but I kind of actually half meant it. Was we were watching a play. It was second and nine, and after a run play went for probably might have been 1 or 2 yards if there actually been, you know, if there had been a whistle and tackling and everything. And I said, you know, I, for whatever it's worth, last year it would have been 2nd and 12. There's the amount of guys on run plays, the amount of defenders that are running through unblocked on run plays, that's been vastly improved. And yes, obviously the standard isn't that you just want to run for 2 or 3 yards, but it is a big part of playing good offensive football is first and foremost, don't hurt yourself. Don't make mental errors. Don't have just inept blocking where guys are blocking different run plays on the same play. That part of it does look better. It's just, it was kind of hard to judge with, you know, Nick Chubb or Woody Marks or whomever else was running just exactly how much of this is, okay, is this 4 yards in a cloud of dust or is this 2 yards in a cloud of dust? But it looks like a cleaner operation. I'm not sold that they're going to be able to physically do everything that they need to do, but they don't seem like a team that's just going to be stabbing themselves in the foot on first down so often.
Well, that's actually one of the things we talked about this week. I believe that this offense is not going to be as explosive as or try to be as explosive even as previous offenses. Like that's part of their game plan. They just don't want to lose yardage. What about the explosiveness that comes on the back end of that?
Well, that's where I think that you do, you know, Nico Collins had a couple of nice receptions today where he was wide open. And if you go back to some of Bill O'Brien's offenses, the one thing you learn over time is that, you know, you can spring play action. You can be effective with play action without being the best rushing team in the league. You just have to be a team that forces defenses to at least respect the run. And ideally, you've got, like the 49ers have been in recent years when they've had a really potent offense. You want to have both the lethal rushing offense and the explosive passing game. But I think that they show more potential for that right now just by virtue of just regardless of how well they run the ball, I think you're going to have to respect the run. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be opportunities for some of the play action and some of those other things. You know, on 3rd and long, it's really comes down to at this point, all right, who are your tackles and is Ariante Ursary going to be ready for that challenge? And I saw both Blake Fisher and Ariante Ursary would have let up at least one sack that I saw today, which isn't, you know, not that, you know, don't raise the alarm flags over just those specific instances, but, you know, we've seen Blake Fisher especially really struggle. That was when Blake Fisher was, he was working with the ones at times today. That's still probably my biggest concern is if you want big plays, you're going to have to be able to protect for a few seconds. And I'm not 100% sold or comfortable with the guys that might be out there doing it.
We're talking to Seth Payne of Payne and Pendergast, right here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And Seth, I mean, I know that it's really tough to watch both fields where you have Texans O versus Panthers D and Panthers offense versus Texans defense. But how much did you get to see of the defense? Because it sounds like the defense didn't get a chance to be entirely the same smothering defense that it feels like we've seen all training camp long.
They, you know what? If anything, I would have loved to see more fireworks. Aziz Alshire had a nice caused fumble to end one drive after the Panthers had a couple good plays or a few good plays. The two things that I would say is, one, I think Tet McMillan and Xavier Leggett looked pretty good for the Panthers. And, you know, some of the deep receptions were on well-thrown balls by Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young, because they helped him out on the offensive line in the offseason, they drafted Tet McMillan, the first-round wide receiver. I think he's got more options. So I think, you know, Bryce Young did look a lot better at the end of last season than he did at the beginning after he got benched. But those guys were pretty good. The thing that really probably sticks out is, you know, Jalen Smith got beat once, I believe it was by Xavier Leggett. In some of those instances where it's the backup cornerbacks or, you know, somebody that's playing with the ones who's not a starter, some of those plays remind you that, man, you feel really good about Kamari Lassiter, you feel really good about Derek Stingley, but the cornerback depth probably isn't ideal right now. You know, Jalen Petrie plays in the slot, but he's not a slot corner. If at some point one of these young guys like Jalen Smith, I mean, he's still very young. I don't think that one or two bad snaps in a combined practice means that he can't be a good NFL player. But some of those young guys got to come along.
Back on the offense, one thing that we've been talking about a lot seems to be making some noise and seems to be, I guess, climbing the depth chart, for lack of a better way to put it, Seth, is Xavier Hutchinson. Xavier Hutchinson seems like, did you see what we've been seeing that, you know, seems to be gaining momentum in that role?
Yeah, I mean, he had a really nice reception on that 2-minute touchdown drive. And it was also nice because there was a scuffle immediately afterwards because there was kind of a hard thump. And, of course, Dalton Schultz was in the middle of all of it. So whatever zest or verve he brings to some of these training camp skirmishes, I hope it plays out on the football field. The three guys that I had written down as far as the guys that really stuck out while I was watching the offense today that continue to scrap for either playing time or a roster spot, Hutchinson, Mechie, and Berrios. Mm-hmm. And Berrios had some really nice plays. Mechie had a nice one in one of the final 2-minute drills. And I think, kind of like we were talking about last year, but maybe more so this year, I think there's going to be some guys that aren't cut, but perhaps traded at the end of training camp. Mm-hmm. Mechie might be one of those guys. Hutchinson just keeps showing up so consistently that I think he's done very well for himself. And then Berrios is just, he's just fun to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to make a direct comparison to Tank Dell, but there's that element of, man, he's a small guy that just moves differently than most other dudes on a football field. And he keeps showing up in these practices, and he's hyper competitive. Had a touchdown catch today and then punted the ball. I give him credit for his accuracy on his punt. He punted it, but it didn't go all the way into the stands. It landed right on the Panthers sideline, which is about, I was kind of waiting to see, like, I don't know what the protocol is for that. It was almost kind of like making a catch and then throwing it in a defender's face, but he did it to their entire sideline. But they didn't seem to take offense to it, which tells me the only thing I needed to know about whether the Panthers are tough enough or not. They didn't respond. So they just sat there and they took it. They took a punt in the face.
We're talking to Seth Payne here. It's interesting that you mentioned Berrios in comparison to Tank Dell, and we were just making that conversation off air of Tank Dell somewhat comparison to Jalen Nowell in the ways that he just continues to show up early on in his rookie year. How did Jalen Nowell show for you?
Jalen Nowell, I saw at least one nice play. I was kind of obscured by some of the players on the sideline. Agumba Wale had a touchdown reception as well. I couldn't really see that one as easily either. I think that with Jalen Nowell, you know how it is watching slot receivers during training camp. It's so much fun because they're playing against more vanilla defenses, and you can really see how they just slide into the soft spots in a zone. He looks like he has that knack. And I think Christian Kirk is a really good mentor for him because you see the same thing out of Christian Kirk. I think the difference with Jalen Nowell is, like you said, Reginald, he's got a different movement style to him. Like, it's just a little stuff. Everybody out there is fast, but he's one of those little guys that you watch and you're like, oh, okay, that is a powder keg right there.
Yeah.
Moving really quickly and zigzagging across. So for him, I think they're going to use him. You know, Christian Kirk will start, but I think I'll be surprised if Jalen Nowell isn't used a lot very early in the season. And, you know, right now we saw that one broken tackle first down on the first drive last week. If the Texans don't play a bunch of their starters, a lot of reps, I hope that Jalen Nowell still gets a bunch of reps because he's formed a good connection with Davis Mills. You know, Jaden Higgins probably gets more reps with the ones than Jalen Nowell does, and it's easier to see where Jaden Higgins fits in. But I think Jalen Nowell, it's hard to watch that speed and think they're not going to figure out a way to get him on the field.
And again, I'm not sure how much you saw of this, but the safety position has made a lot of news lately, obviously with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and what they're going to do with Jimmy Ward. And I was listening to you guys earlier about, you know, maybe you don't feel as confident about Jimmy Ward even playing with the Texans this year. What did the safety position look like from what you could see?
I'm really glad you brought it up because it wasn't like I was dialed in on the safeties, but I had that thought where there were too many receptions of uncovered guys at times today that I was comfortable with from the first and second string defense. So there, you know, a guy gets beat in coverage, whatever. It's going to happen. You're going to lose your individual matchups at times. Whether it was a blown coverage or somebody falling down or whatever it might be, and in areas of the field where it feels like there might have been a safety out of place, which can be a big deal, as you know. If you don't have got safeties in position, that's if there were a panic meter item that might be a little bit undersold right now, it's that, man, the Texans defense, the one area that they weren't really good at last year was that for a defense that it was as good as they were, they let up a lot of big plays. And sometimes it was because of missed assignments or misalignments in the defensive backfield. Right now, You know, maybe Jalen Mills ends up being the guy just by virtue of veteran experience that can kind of reel things in there. I will point, as we're talking about safeties, Kalen Bullock had a very, very nice pass breakup where he just showed his classic range, just came out of nowhere, and it looked like a basketball play almost, yeah. Like where he's just. It was just sort of goaltending, but he swatted the ball away before it got to be goaltending. So like he showed up in a positive way when I was watching. But there were just some deep, wide-open voids at time, more than I was comfortable with from the defense as a whole.
All right, before I ask you for just the winners of the joint practice, I do need to get your particular eyes on the ground there. We have intel that that your partner, Sean Pendergast, was on the grill, except not quite on the grill. Like, what kind of performance did he deliver in helping Cal with the cookout?
Oh, I totally forgot about the cookout. There wasn't a chance in hell I was going to get anywhere near another source of heat today. If I know Sean, it's that Sean's value in a lot of any kind of physical task or chore is in providing entertainment and good company to the people who are actually performing the physical tasks.
Yeah,
that's his role. You know, he presents positive vibes, and that's how he's almost like a pleasant mafia guy who's got a no-show job, you know? He just sit around and crack some jokes.
He would very much appreciate that comparison as well. All right, real quick, can you give us a handful of winners for you on the day for Pet Cat Points here on the program?
Okay, good question. I'm going to say winners, the three receivers I mentioned, Braxton Berrios, John Metchie, and Xavier Hutchinson. I think Nico Collins, too, just because Nico Collins had some, Nico, it's almost like you're expecting fireworks and nothing less. So like, where I want 7 85-yard touchdown receptions. But I think the connection between C.J. Stroud and Nico, I feel really good about that. I mean, there's just so many times where it looks like, okay, CJ's dropping back. He's hitting Nico in full stride. The ball placement is right. And that's going to generate some big plays, even whether you're tackling or not tackling. I feel good about that. I think defensively, Darrell Taylor, I don't know how many simulated sacks he ended up having or not, but I think Darrell Taylor is going to make some plays for the Texans defense this year. The defensive end that they signed as a free agent. He's a little bit like a defensive line version of Jalen Noel, where he's a little undersized, but he just moves differently and more explosively than the other guys out there. The other one, I would say big winner, D'Amico Ryans, who's talked about delegating, spent, as far as I could tell, I think he spent pretty much the whole practice with the offense. That might have been just when I noticed him, but every time I noticed D'Amico, he was working with the offense. So I think that, and then by trickle-down effect, that would mean Matt Burke is probably taking over more total ownership and control of the defense. So D'Amico and being able to be a complete head coach, more so than a defensive-minded head coach, I like seeing that.
Oh, man, okay, that's a great point. That's great eyes from you, Seth Payne. I look forward to hearing even more of your breakdown of training camp tomorrow, 6 a.m. On Payne and Pendergast, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have fun.
All right, we'll do our best. You too. That's Seth Payne of Payne and Pendergast, as I mentioned, 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Incredible breakdown, including D'Amico Ryans being more of the
good
CEO, walk-around coach. Love to see it. All right, coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions, as we often do at this time, and we'll do that on Sports Radio 610.